welcome to the Authors Network Radio Show, a weekly show where we will feature the work of authors from around the world. Tune in and listen to their stories, as well as tips and insights into authorship. Now here's your host and best-selling author, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. Hey, I hope everyone had a great Easter weekend, okay? I mean, it's funny, time just comes and goes. I spent last Thursday and Friday up in Austin, and as a lot of you know, I'm in Houston, and I got to meet Alan Bourgeois for the first time, and I've been doing business with him for 4 years. And Alan lives in Austin, which is about 2 hours from where I live. Now, I know I'm a networking person. I love to network. I love to meet people, build relationships. And Alan and I have built a relationship for 4 years over the air, and I finally just got to meet him. And it was awesome to sit down with him for an hour in Austin and just brainstorm some stuff. You know, and at this time of the year, a lot of us have just gotten through Easter, but those guys out there, you know, and some of them women that love basketball, they're into the March Madness. And I can relate. I think it's pretty cool. There's two of my teams that are in there. Not that I bet on them or picked them in a bracket, but they're from the Northeast, and that's where I'm from. So when I seen that, that was great. But here's what I thought about with March Madness. With March Madness, I look at, here we are, 2016. We're rounding up the third month out of the year. We're in coming, you know, into we're in the March Madness, right? But in business, where are we? I think a lot of business owners, and if you're an author or a speaker, don't fool yourself. You're a business owner. I think that you're right in the middle of March Madness. And I'm wondering if you're that Cinderella business that no one expected to make it, but yet you're coming up from the bottom and you're just taking leaps and bounds and growing your business. Or are you that favorite that was picked in the beginning of the year to be the best going business so far this year, and you're kind of stuck back in January somewheres? Well, we're rounding the turn to a quarter. And when we get through the first quarter of our business, it's good to look back. But if you're like me, I don't always remember to look back at the end of the fourth month of the year. So right now, when I see March Madness, it made me start thinking, where have I been? What is going on? What do I need to correct? And do I need to adjust the guardrails on the road I'm traveling so I don't veer off into a field by the middle of June? I hope that you'll take time out, okay? Great holiday just passed. Some good basketball coming up on the TV. And we're rolling into April. School will be out before you know it. And the next thing you know, we'll be on summer vacation, being looked at funny by our spouses because we brought the laptop on vacation to get done some business because we weren't prepared at this time of the year so far. So take a step back, okay? And remember what I always tell you. God created mirrors in your house, not so that you could go there and comb your hair, put your makeup on. It was so you could take a deeper look at what you're doing. Now, today, I got a great guest. And I'm from the selfish side of things, folks, I always have great guests. I can't help it. They're just led to the show. And I'm so excited today to meet a gentleman by the name of Scott Andrew James, who's out of Austin. But one of the things as I start looking up the guests that are coming on, I start looking at some of the things that they do. And he has a program that, you know, he talks about the importance of crafting a lunch line pitch for talking about your book if you're an author. And even if you're not an author and you're just a business owner, or maybe you're a mom or a dad or a neighbor or a volunteer, do you know what to say? Do you know how much of it to say? This is a great opportunity for you to learn more about, well, what I call the value of understanding why you got one mouth and two ears. But before we get into that, I just want to talk about TX Authors Conference coming up April 30th, May 1st. Go to txauthors.com, click on the COAD tab, Celebration of Authors Dinner. It's going to be an incredible opportunity for everyone, authors and speakers are your target market, whether you're an author or a speaker, or you're looking to become an author or a speaker. This will be a room full of like-minded people that will help you. Some have already been down the path that you're trying to travel, and some haven't been there yet at all. So it's a great chance for you to mingle with some people and learn. So they're expected, over 100 people registered now, but they're expected to have at least 200 people both days there. That's a big room full of like-minded people. So if you're smart, you'll go to txauthors.com and buy your ticket. Get the opportunity. If you're not in the Austin area, you're just in Texas, well, if you haven't been to Austin, you're surely missing out on the time of your life to go down to Rainy Street or even cruise through 6th Street to get to Rainy Street and some great, great atmosphere going on there. So about the show today, as I mentioned, Scott Andrew James is our guest. Teaches authors how to find readers in unexpected ways. He's held positions like brand manager for Greenleaf Book Group. And it's funny, someone was just telling me about that organization. And head purpose finder at Avasta Press. And he has been cited in entrepreneur.com as one of 27 masters of marketing and PR every entrepreneur can learn from. So he's got lots of rewards. He's done a lot of things. And I could spend the whole hour reading this information. But what we're going to do is we're going to hear right from Scott. So this is what I want to do. Scott, welcome to the show.
Tony.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Well, it's my pleasure, Scott. And, you know, one of the things I'd like to do right up in the front of the interview is let people know a little bit about who you are, right? So I mentioned you're in Austin, but where are you from originally?
I grew up in Wisconsin, just outside of Milwaukee, and I lived in Colorado and California for many years in between, and I just got to Austin, Texas about 3 years ago, and I fell in love.
What brought you to Austin?
A couple things. I got married in San Francisco. My wife and I have been married for about 5 years. And we were looking for a house, and if you know anything about the Bay Area right now, buying a house is not simple and not inexpensive. So we were looking for a place to live, put down some roots, and just fortunately at the exact same time, about 3 years ago, we were looking, my brother got transferred to Austin, Texas, so we made a trip like what we saw, and we bought a house, and here we are.
Huh. Very cool. I love Austin. It's a great time. I just got to spend a couple of days up there with my boys are 27 and 21. So they just had birthdays and, you know, of course they thought they were going to get mom and dad out to the club and see what happened. So it was way more fun than I imagined. It was awesome. So anyway, Greenleaf Book Club, book group. Someone was just telling me about that organization, said I need to find out more about it because there's a book that I've written and I want to speak from, and they said that's a great organization to work for. Tell me a little bit about what you did with them.
Yeah, Greenleaf Book Group is a fantastic organization. I'm really fortunate to have worked with them as the brand manager, and I continue to work with them as a long-term development partner. They are a hybrid publisher that really focuses on authors, you know, who want to be independent-minded and creative about how they publish their books, but still want to retain a level of control. So the work that I did was I coached people on figuring out, you know, what's my brand as an author? What do I want to put out there? What kind of influence am I trying to have? A lot of people who I worked with were thinking of books as business cards, right? Like they're either pivoting a business, they're publishing a book to do more speaking. They're publishing a book to use to advance their consulting work. So people who are thinking about, you know, a book as a content pillar for their overall career or pivoting that career, you know, how do they talk about that? How do they sort of use the book and all of the buzz around publishing a book, as you well know, you know, to get their message out and to meet the right people and just sort of get a good jump start. So that was the kind of work that I did.
So, you know, a lot of people are writing books more now than ever. And I believe that it's a good, well, it's better than any business card you can come up with, because people get to take the book home with them instead of putting a business card in some box on their desk. But did you find that a lot of people that write books, after the book was written, they were just kind of standing out there on an island, not knowing what to do, what direction to go in, how to market the book, how to speak off the book, what to do with the book? Did you find that more often than not?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would say what I found, well, here's answer number one. Or the first half of the answer is that, yes, people who had already published a book like a year, 2 years, 3 years before I met them, that was not infrequent, what you're talking about. People would say, oh, you know, I did the book and I did some launch stuff and some PR and I got some sales, but you know, now I don't know what to do with it now. I'm a year or two out, exactly what you're talking about. But that was a big part of the work that I did. So if I could work with someone, you know, 6 months, a year beforehand, if they were thinking about their book, like you just said, as something that's bigger than a business card, as something that's cornerstone content, then we could start, you know, before the book publishes to say, you know, how do we use the book as a beginning? Because what I found at the core, and this is actually, you know, one of the reasons that the lunch line pitch sort of came into existence, but a lot of authors, you know, we spend 6 months, a year, 18 months writing, revising, and producing a book that's really, really good, right? It's beautiful. It's well-researched. But no one outside of, you know, your circle of editors and publishers and your friends knows that you've been working on this book for a year. You know, so it feels like a finish line because authors are exhausted by the time the book gets published. But in reality, for the rest of the world, it's the starting line, right? Like everyone else is like, oh, you know, Scott just published a book or Tony just published a book. Like, that's amazing. Maybe they heard about it a couple weeks beforehand when he started promoting it. So the big shift that I worked with people on is that if you're going to think about your book as an important part of your brand or your business, don't make the book the finish line. It's a starting line, you know, use it as, or it's a point along the way, an important point, but you know, weave it into everything you're talking about and use it as a way to make connections and as a growth jumpstart, not as, you know, something you put out with no energy left to take advantage of it.
Right. Right. So, I've been interviewing authors and speakers for about almost 8 years now, and I've heard a lot of different stories about, you know, because I was always inquisitive about, you know, how did it go when you were writing the book? And you know better than I do, 7-8 years ago, doing a book was way different than today. You didn't have all the so-called opportunities or people out there helping and teaching and all that. But one of the things that I found was that people really didn't plan. They just spent all their time writing the book. And if you were going to launch a business, you would have all your marketing tools together. You would have a whole launch plan together, start to finish. So if I'm getting this correctly, with a book, you should look at it as, well, a part of your business. It should be something that's launched out like a new product, planned out months in advance, so that when you know, when it comes time to launch the book, maybe you have an opportunity to get people on a launch team with you or hire the right people to get the book marketed so it can make a bestseller list.
Yeah, yes to everything you just said. And it's an opportunity to build community, like authentic community. You know, yeah, you're going to sell books and you may hit a bestseller list. You may hit an Amazon category bestseller. But the greatest thing is that you know, your book, it is like a product, but it's not just a product, right? Because it's deep. It's like something that you put heart and soul, blood, sweat, and tears into. And, you know, it's not a throwaway. It's not just for one purpose. Like, it's the beginning of conversations. Like I said, it's the starting line. So you put it out there, and if you, you know, use it as a way to meet folks and just say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. This is what I'm working on. Like, this is what I want to be spending my time and energy on for the next 18 months. You know, I just spent 18 months putting this book together. Now I'm going to spend the next 18 months, like, manifesting this stuff. Like, let's make something happen. Your community can just explode in really good ways.
Right. And in today's world, in business, the internet is so powerful. And if you're not building relationships to build a community, well, I believe you're leaving a lot on the table. Scott, I want to go a little bit in a different direction here for a second. First of all, I want to mention your website, okay? So people can go to scottandrewjames.com and learn more about Scott. But I want to find out, you've lived in different parts of the country. What, were you always a writer? I mean, it shows on your website that I believe you do a lot of poetry as well. Is this something that you always were at a young age doing, or how did you come about all that?
Yeah. When I was a teenager, my grandfather, Rick James, he passed away, and he had been a traveling salesman, and he had a 1946 Smith Corona typewriter. And his wife, my grandmother, passed it on to me and basically said, he was a storyteller. Scott, you're a storyteller. Here's this typewriter. So when I left Wisconsin, short answer is that, yes, I had been writing poetry my entire life. Like, that was the art form that I gravitated toward, to sort of keep diaries, be creative, you know, do everything that you would do with poetry as a teenager. And I loved it. But then when I left, I got my college degree was in English. I was taught poetry. I had a great professor named Dr. Kevin Stein, who's actually later went on to become the poet laureate of the state of Illinois. So I was honored to learn under him. He taught me a love for poetry. And then when I moved out west, I mostly worked seasonal work. I was a whitewater rafting guide. I was an experiential educator. So I moved around a lot with the seasons. And I took this typewriter with me, which had a case. And so I basically would use my off time to write poems. And I had tons of inspiration because I worked with teenagers, I worked with adults, I worked with groups. And it was all transformative work. You know, it was people who were doing things that were hard, that were new. And I was facilitating or supporting them. And so I had a lot of inspiration, and I would draw from that. I would write poetry, and I would make little zines or just collections of poems. I'd Xerox them, and I'd hand them out to people as I traveled. So I've been writing in some way, shape, or form my whole life, but that typewriter was really central. So I carried it with me, and then I moved to San Francisco about 7-8 years ago. And when I was there, I used the typewriter a lot as well. But it wasn't until last year that I decided to do a project for myself. And I gave myself a quest, which was to write and give away 1,000 poems in 1 year on that typewriter. And so I did that. I did accomplish it. And that is, you can see a lot of those poems on my website. And to me, that's like the creative side of the consulting and coaching work I do with authors. So I like to think that the poetry is, you know, my gift that I give to the world at large, and what I like to enjoy my writing. And then I do similar kind of work, you know, drawing inspiration from or just helping people find the right words to talk about what they do. In my coaching and consulting work with authors, so it's kind of like poetry through coaching.
So the skill that you've gotten from writing poetry has allowed you to listen to what people are trying to articulate in words and bring it out for them, basically.
Yeah, and I think I'd say it slightly differently, but you're, I mean, I'm not saying you're incorrect. That I, well, the way I say it is, I help, you know, I help you figure out how to say what you're good at in the best way possible.
Right, right. So I'm assuming, you're a really good listener.
I like to think so. I try to listen. Yeah.
Well, I you know, I have a hard time focusing long enough to read poetry, let alone writing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think
yeah.
that in order to write a lot of stuff, especially poetry, and I could be wrong, it would seem as though you'd have to be a really good listener. You'd have to be really in tuned to your surroundings so that you could put it into that word form. Is that kind of describe you?
Yeah. The things that I like to cultivate in myself are, you know, presence, be present, how to be mindful, and how to be aware, which is something, the awareness I draw very heavily from 10 years in outdoor education and outdoor guiding, where you're constantly surrounded by a changing and, you know, not tamed environment. You know, whether you're running a whitewater river or hiking in a mountain or camping in a desert, right? Like, you have to be very aware and in tune with what's going on, whether it's weather, you know, how you're feeling, are you hungry, et cetera. So I feel like I hone those skills there. And, yeah, I definitely try to bring that, you know, to my poetry and to my consulting work.
That's awesome. I never had that opportunity to tune in, so to speak. But I think we're all gifted to tune in a different way. You know, it's just, well, we're just lucky enough to be different, right, from each other. Now, how many books have you written?
Well, I've written one novel. I don't even know how to count how many poetry books, but lots of poetry. And somewhere between 5 and 10 business books that were ebooks, and then I've ghostwritten lots of books as well for clients.
Mm. So, how the Texas Association of Authors celebration in the end of April? I mean, I'm super excited to be able to meet all the people that I've interviewed that are going to be there presenting, and I'm honored to be a part of that group, you know, presenting to the authors there. But for me, Scott, this has been so, well, so cool because I get to meet everybody that's going there. And like yourself, everybody has a really unique talent to help others. And
mm-hmm.
I think that people today are more likely to tell their story than they were 10 years ago. But I think a business owner understands the value of writing to build credibility, especially now that you have all these business coaches and life coaches, and you know, it's just a little bit more than just a Mary Kay salesperson out there doing any networking opportunities. So I think it's and don't get me wrong, I think the lady in the Mary Kay industry should write a book too, because their experiences are what build these relationship to the people sitting in the seats that will allow them to purchase the Mary Kay products. It's not the Mary Kay product itself. It's the relationship. So what are you looking forward to teaching without giving away everything at the author celebration in April?
Sure. Well, like you, I am excited to meet everyone that you're interviewing and that I see on the list. There's several names that I recognize, some that I've met, some that I have not. But what I really am excited about overall about the conference is that, you know, Alan uses the word empower in the description of what's going to happen that day. And it really is. It's that, you know, it's a series of people who have very focused, direct things to teach, workshops that are going to be like, how do I empower you as an author? My contribution, what I'm going to talk about, is what I call the punchline pitch. And it's a variation on the old elevator pitch idea. Or it's not so old, I mean, they still use it, but it's a variation on the elevator pitch idea. And here's where it comes from. when I was coaching people, you know, over my whole career, I used to coach startup founders when I was out in San Francisco, small business people, before I shifted to focus on authors. But whether it was a startup person or an author, or really anyone, like you said, any business owner, anybody with a project that they're working on, you're going to meet people all the time, you know, who are going to ask you, what are you working on? And if you think about it in the matrix of a business owner or as an author building a business, you know, each one of those is an opportunity to get that person excited about what you're doing. The other option is to just say something that's not interesting, and they'll just sort of move on, like they won't pay attention past a few seconds of what you're talking about. So when I was coaching people about how to talk about what they're doing, I found that referring to the elevator pitch idea didn't work, right? None of us find ourselves in an elevator with anybody asking us questions, right? You stand in the elevator, you stare ahead of you or down at the floor. Like, that's not when people actually talk to each other. But where do we actually talk to each other? When you're in line for lunch, when you're at an industry conference and there's somebody in front of you who's also waiting for their brown bag, you know, pick between turkey, ham, and veggie, or, you know, waiting for the buffet, whatever it is. And maybe they're hungry and they just turn to you, right, in the 2 to 3 minutes while you're waiting in line, and they politely say, you know, what are you working on? And most authors mumble through that. Like, we're not ready. This thing that we spend hundreds of hours on, writing, editing, you know, producing, formatting, getting ready to market, when it comes down to it and somebody actually asks you, what are you working on, most people will not have a snappy, punchy, sort of ready response for that. And so what I would coach people on is, what do you do in that moment? Like, what's something punchy that's less than 5 seconds that you can say that will, you know, convey the spirit and the authentic essence of what it is that you're working on in a way that gets that person interested in asking you more questions? Because then you can have the opportunity where they're asking you, like, oh, really, tell me more about that. Like, how do you do that in less than 5 seconds? And I've figured out, you know, a way to draft one with people in a workshop setting that will get that process started, because I think everybody should be able to do that, right? Answer that question, whether it's somebody in the industry who's in front of you in line, or it's that one relative at Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner, you know, who just never really gets you. Like, they don't know what you're talking about. They don't understand why you spend all this time on books. This lunch line pitch will basically help get that conversation going in a way to get them interested, so that it goes better next time and every time after that. That's the idea.
Well, Scott, I know that you're pressed for time today, so I really, really, really appreciate you giving us some of your time here. I'm going to set it up that we get you back on the show, because there's so much more to talk about.
Cool.
The lunch line pitch is such an important tool for everyone. And I run networking groups, and one of the things that we talk about is the 6-foot rule, talking to someone within 6 foot of you, arm's width either way. And most people do that in a network breakfast or lunch, but never in line for lunch or Walmart. So I think you're really onto something. I love the fact that it's 5 seconds, because they say after 7 seconds, people aren't listening anymore. So tell everyone how they can find you, how I can get in touch with you. And I promise you, I'm going to be reaching out to you off the air to get you on another show that's more convenient on your time schedule.
I would love that, Tony. I'd love to come back. Thank you for having me this time. This is awesome. I love what you're doing, and I just appreciate being able to say a few words to the folks who are listening. They can find out more about me at scottandrewjames.com. That's scottandrewjames.com. And all my other contact info is there.
Well, man, once again, I'm seriously looking forward to seeing you in Austin, and I'm going to be picking your brain. I love the lunch line pitch. So I'm looking forward to it. You have a safe weekend, and we look forward to talking to you.
Thanks, Tony. I look forward to seeing you in Austin as well. All right. Talk soon.
All right. Okay, folks, we're going to take a little commercial break and wrap up the show.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm here with this special series for TX Authors Conference coming April 30th. May 1st in Austin, Texas. You can go to txauthors.com and click on the tab that says COAD, Celebration of Authors Dinner. There's a whole lineup of speakers. We have been interviewing them for the last 2 months, and I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be an incredible event. There'll be at least 200 people there. There'll be people that will be bringing you ideas, helping you with the things that aren't working, and creating new ways for you to look at things differently than you already are. So if you don't know anything about txauthors.com, well, shame on you. If you're an author in the state of Texas or anywhere in the country listening to this show right now, make sure to go to txauthors.com and join it. Join the website, especially if you're in Texas. I'm telling you, it's been growing so quickly that it won't be long before this organization is going from one end of the country to the other. Make sure to connect with Alan Bougereau at txauthors.com. Look at all the things that are going on. If you're an author or you're a speaker looking to become an author, this is an opportunity for you, if you're in the state of Texas, to take advantage of a lot of things at a very, very reasonable price. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm here every week on the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find out more about all the shows by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com. Make sure to go check out the website today, scottandrewjames.com, scottandrewjames.com. I'm telling you, there's a ton of poems, but what I like the most is about what he talked about what he can help you do, right? The importance of crafting a lunch line pitch for talking about your book. Now, folks, just think about it. You don't have to be in line for lunch. You just have to be somewhere when someone asks you a question, be able to answer it the correct way, clearly, and keep them interested. I highly recommend you going to scottandrewjames.com. So, once again, you can find me every week here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Tune in tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Central Time, on Cryptopreneurs Radio here on Tough Talk Radio Network. I hope everyone has a blessed week. And remember, March Madness is just about over. Have you figured out what part of the schedule of the year that you're on? Are you right up to where you needed to be at the end of March? Are you the Cinderella team that's going to come in and win it all? Or are you the overrated team that hasn't gotten there yet? Take a deeper look. Get back on track. Reach out to me, Tony at TonyGambone.com. We'd love to talk to you. I hope everyone has a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
You have been listening to the Authors Network Radio Show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you'd like more information about this show or others, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.